Just repeat itself.
The struggle we must wage is behind the cameras, behind the pens. It is to inform society, our only boss, with the truth.
That was photojournalist Felix Marquez, and before that, Jorge Sanchez, the son of Moises Sanchez, who was found decapitated earlier this year after reporting on corruption and violence in Veracruz for his weekly newspaper, La Union. It was produced by our guest today, the independent journalist Andalusia Noel. Sebastian Aguirre, you are with Article 19, part of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights that guarantees free press, freedom of expression. What are you demanding now in Mexico? What are you demanding of the president? And do you feel that he bears any responsibility here, President Peña Nieto?
Well, there's definitely a response. Our demands are very clear. It's basically a due investigation of all aggressions against journalists all over the country, because it's not only Veracruz. We can talk about Guerrero. We can talk about Oaxaca. We've documented 7 murders just this year, and this was an election year. So just imagine when we're supposed as a country to practice democracy, we're seeing such high violence against the press. So our demands are quite clear. A full investigation to all aggressions against journalists. We have a special prosecution for crimes against freedom of expression, which they have presented no results in the ever. Not so ever. We wanted to say a date, but they haven't presented any results on the murders of Moises Sanchez, of the murders of Regina Martinez in Veracruz as well. She used to be a colleague with Ruben in the Proceso magazine. So our demands are quite clear. We want a full investigation. And I think, yeah, there is a responsibility from all parts of the government, the federal, the state, and the municipal government, for the systematic impunity of crimes against human rights defenders and crimes against journalists. We can actually talk about a systematic impunity, because in Article 19, we documented 88 cases since 2000. And none of them
Sebastian, we're going to have to leave it there. But, of course, we will continue to cover this. Sebastian Aguirre with Article 19, Laura Carlson, Center for International Policy, and Andalusia Noel, independent journalist. We will link to her piece at AJ+. We have a job opening for social media editor, full-time job. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
This is Jason Carter of Babylon 5. In the Rangers, we live for the one, we die for the one, and we listen to Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. Stay cool.
We're talking to Senator Kenneth LaValle here at the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Quarterfinals. And, Senator, some thoughts about the event here at Stony Brook?
Well, I think it's very, very exciting. As I drove up to see people tailgating and young fellows playing with their lacrosse sticks, cradling the ball, very, very exciting. I think it's great for Stony Brook to be hosting the quarterfinals. And our Stony Brook team will be playing the number one team, Virginia. And my feeling is if they play deep.
Step through the global window, alternating Thursday evenings for a trip around the world through the FM ethers of WUSB 90.1 FM. I'm Chris, and I'll be your host on the Global Rhythms program every other Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in and expand your musical horizons on Global Rhythms on WUSB Stony Brook.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. It is 6:02 p.m. here at WUSB Stony Brook. That's 90.1 megahertz on your FM dial. We're also reachable on the web at WUSB.FM. That's WUSB.FM online. You can stream, you can go to the archives, all that good stuff. Hey, but right now it's 6:03, and it's time on this wonderful Tuesday evening for Off the Wall. Thank you. All right. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle. I'm joined tonight by Emmanuel.
Hello.
Hi there.
Wow. Do I sound okay? I sound weird to me. Do I sound weird to you?
Yeah, a little garbled. A little overmodulated.
Maybe turn me down a little bit then. That's strange.
It is strange.
You tell the guy on the piano to lay off a little bit too? He's kind of drowning us out. Yeah, I sound strange. But you know what? Yeah, right? I sound overmodulated. What's wrong with this place?
Abused. That microphone sounds like it had a really rough night, but I feel like I don't sound much better.
You know, there are just so many things to list that are not working properly that should be working properly. Like, for instance, we can't even receive our own station here. We're getting another station instead of us. And every switch we throw is another nightmare. If you could throw that switch back, because this is a real nightmare what you just did. Yeah, that sounds so bad. All right, you know, we're just going to have to deal with this, I guess. This is what Third World Radio sounds like, courtesy of Stony Brook. Thanks so much for the support. Okay, please stop touching buttons, because every time I touch a button, I get loud bursts of static in my ears, and it's hurting.
All right, so.
Now you sound terrible.
Yeah, I can't hear me at all.
Wow. Okay, the place is going to the dogs, no question about that. We don't want to complain about everything every week, because there's other things outside of the studio we want to complain about, but it just makes it so difficult when every button doesn't work.
Yeah, there's so many other things in the world we'd love to talk about, and it time and time again comes up that equipment impedes any kind of normal creativity and production, and a lot is lost as a result. Yeah. I mean, we do run on time here, and that is how things work, and these impediments make it trying to do community radio. So if we ever talk about maybe needing some help, maybe during a fund drive or something, that's definitely a time to help out, because those votes of support go towards improving things.
Yes. Well, you know, it's not the listeners. I want to make that clear. It's not the listeners. It's not the staff. We've got the best of both. But it's beyond that. It's the infrastructure here. We should be talking about our brand new facility that we're going to be moving into next year. We should be talking about the new state-of-the-art digital equipment that we're going to be getting. We should be talking about, you know, the various other ways of improving and expanding.
Amenities, resources.
And we can't talk about any of that because we don't have that kind of support from this institution. It's absurd. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
And maybe it'll change. I sure hope it does. But I worry about the state of this place if we don't start getting taken seriously. Like, we've been on the air since 1977 as the leading campus media outlet. And really, it kind of feels like, you know, B92 in the days when Yugoslavia was crumbling apart. B92 was the radio station that told the truth against the administration in Belgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they found themselves under arrest. They found themselves with their studios being blown up sometimes.
Ravaged.
All kinds of nasty things happened to them as a result of them being a thorn in the side of the establishment. And that's how I feel here sometimes. Except we're not nearly as much of a thorn, I don't think. You know, I mean, B92 would never broadcast the football games of the Belgrade authorities. They would never do that.
Right, they'd like play them backwards or something.
Yeah,
just to spite the powers that be, of course. And that's sort of what you're in for here on Off the Wall.
You sound good now, though. You sound good now.
Yeah, literally flicking that dial with my finger.
Okay,
made
so
it come back.
If that made it come back, then it's possible that we sound fine to everybody except us, and
yeah,
we just sound like a couple of complaining idiots because no one can tell what's wrong.
I'm pretty sure that's probably the case.
But you know, it's if you had, you know, you could take who's one of the big stars today in the movies. Richard Burton. Okay, you take a big movie star like Richard Burton, for instance, and you flash infrared strobe lights into his eyes. Well, no, he wouldn't be able to see that, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
Okay, you flash real strobes that we can't see for some reason, and he can. It's going to affect his performance as an actor, even though everything seems to be working. He's being distracted by all these ridiculous things.
Yeah, they do throw us, but we're here. We're We're up and running, and boy, that is not the case for a lot of the area.
Oh, no, no, that's true. And completely unrelated to our complaints here, we were hit by something kind of sudden and unexpected this morning. You know those things we get occasionally called hurricanes?
Hurricane.
Yeah, you know, you've been in a couple.
They have names.
You watch them come up the shore of the Carolinas.
There's maybe
7 days, and then they arrive. Usually a disappointment.
There's a lot of planning, a lot of discussion. I think last time, even politicians get criticized for warning in advance because it was such a whimper with some of the storms.
Yeah, a disappointment from me because I like storms.
We like it to be eventful.
And I hate the phrase dodge the bullet. I hate hearing that. You know, don't want to dodge the bullet. I want to be directly in the line of fire, whatever hurricane is coming up the shore or the coast, rather. But that's not what happened this morning. This morning we had a storm that had no name and virtually no warning whatsoever and was very quick. It was over in about a half hour. But man, the destruction this thing caused, it's unbelievable. We were driving around this afternoon. First of all, we have no power. At our facility, we have no power and no prospect of power anytime soon. In fact, I can't even get that little computer at PSENG to... you're not supposed to call it that. You're supposed to call it PSEG on Long Island. PSENG is New Jersey. Okay. Yeah, right. I'm gonna follow that rule, corporate masters. Thank you. So the electric company, that little computer you call to find out the update, they don't give you an update. They just say, yeah, we're aware of it. We're going to deal with it when we get around to it. I don't think we'll have power before tomorrow. There's a state of emergency in Port Jefferson. The campus had no power for a good amount of time. And that was because we were hit with all these strong winds, and there was a thunderstorm, big thunderstorm that went through as well. Woke everybody up, and then it's gone. But we were driving around. There's trees down everywhere. In fact, I'm going to tweet out some pictures of trees. And destruction and things like that. If you follow my Twitter account, you'll be able to see those. If you don't follow my Twitter account, you'll have to figure out what it is because I don't believe in that kind of shameless self-promotion. There's no power at a lot of intersections right now. It took us extra long to get here. That's why you might have heard a couple of promos at the beginning of the hour because we had to run. Here's the thing. When there's no traffic light and you're on a main road, the way it might be nice in whatever kind of fantasy world you want to conjure up to let cars alternate from local street to main road, local street to main road. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to let a bunch of cars go on the main street and then maybe one or two on the minor street. Or maybe you have, say, a 15-second window of opportunity for them to go through as if the traffic light has just turned. But you have to sort of coordinate that with the driver coming the other way. What I'm seeing on the way over here is just the courteousness gone crazy, where people just letting everybody in, and as a result, we're all going really, really, really slow. So that was kind of frustrating. Other than that, though, I think people are handling it well.
They are. People really did get up and get out there, realizing that this was pretty, pretty expansive as far as the limbs coming apart and trees, whole trees tipping over, and it really has been sparse as far as coverage. There's not a lot of details just because it happened this morning and there is a lot of catching up that's being done. It looked pretty wild. I mean, there are a lot of main transmission, like pretty crucial distribution, like lines and poles and things that are pretty heavily affected, and a lot of impassable areas, a lot of neighborhoods that just have no way around. So if you go away, you think you're normally going, you can't make it because of the closures. Maybe you saw it earlier, you didn't realize it. These things are happening, and it's taking some adjusting. But I'm seeing a lot of cool heads for the most part, and I think it'll be interesting putting things back together and getting things up and running again. It's so funny how quickly I've sort of gotten used to it. To a degree, with these storms, how we go into no electricity mode, and you adapt. We've talked about this before on the show. It takes a little bit, but as soon as you get your head around what you got to do, and you take the necessary steps, you can get by. And So we'll update people as that unfolds. So do be careful out there, everyone. There is a lot of utility wiring and that kind of dangerous stuff. A lot of trees that seem loose. Okay, I don't know exactly why. It would be interesting to talk to somebody who knows about erosion and soil and how it all works. But I think there are probably trees that maybe have not fully come down yet. Maybe they partially fell. So definitely take great caution. Keep your eyes peeled. Look up, as it were, and make sure things aren't that are above you are stable before you know, all that kind of good common sense, I think, is necessary at a moment like this. So and also just give an extra bit of time for wherever you might be traveling to, and stay tuned to WUSB and other radio stations like us, but mainly USB because we're so cool. And we'll share with you any further developments we have on the story. But it's pretty interesting out there.
I wasn't expecting it. I really wasn't. I knew we had a storm. I heard thunder, and then we lost power. And there was something about losing power this time that was a little different. It was very definitive. This, you know, just no flickering or anything like that. It's gone. It's not coming back. And hasn't come back yet. So it's been over 12 hours now, and no estimate as to when it'll come back. It's coming back in some spots, but if you're driving around in the local area, and it's pretty local, North Shore of Long Island is what it looks like right now. I'm not sure about other parts of the island. I don't think Nassau really got hit. I don't think the South Shore really got hit. But if you are driving around, exercise caution, common sense, that kind of thing.
I mean, I think there are some outages as far as the border with, I guess, what, Queens County, that is? I mean, when I looked at west. The electrical map, okay. Yeah, it looked pretty wide, but mostly north of the north shore of the island, or north side of the island. Yeah. I'm not really local. I don't know how to talk about it. But
You got a North Shore, North Fork, if you go out further to the east.
Yeah, it's not quite a fork.
Right. It hasn't started yet.
So. I don't think it actually made it out there very much at all. It really did seem to cut off before it gets to the North Fork.
I heard Southold got hit, but I think we got the brunt of it here, which is fine by me. You know, if a storm's going to come through, I want to see it. But the thing is, I didn't really know we were getting this kind of a storm.
No, nobody did, and that's the really wild thing is we were all. I remember joking with you last night. It wasn't joking. It was serious. We looked at the report on NOAA.gov, as you would, and I just was curious about what the weather was going to be like and if there'd be more thunder and stuff.
And it was hot and humid. We wanted some rain. We wanted a storm.
Yeah, I was all ready for it, and it was like really nothing to do about it, and I think it was like, what, 30%?
Yeah, you
and
told me last night we had a 30% chance.
But that was a precipitation.
So yeah, we had precipitation, but that 30%, it turned out to be well above that because, you know, I thought, okay, we're not going to get anything now, and we sure did get something. No predictions whatsoever, no warnings, nothing like that. Completely unlike a hurricane in that regard, but very much like a hurricane as far as destruction. In fact, I would say there was more destruction from that quick storm than there was for many hurricanes that have come through here and that we've wasted many days worrying about. So, yeah, just like that. I don't think anyone was injured, fortunately. Of course, it happened while most people were sleeping. So there's that. But, wow, just goes to show.
What a day. What a beginning to a day. So, anyway, we obviously that's going on, and we'll probably want to talk more about that as it unfolds, as I said. What else you got? You got any interesting... There's tons of stuff going on in the world,
there really
as usual,
is.
So we'd like to chat about that, too,
yes,
sure.
Yes. Just to give people the good news, our team won the first leg of the Europa Cup.
Did they?
Europa League, rather.
Okay.
Taking place in Southampton, which is the team we're following. We're following them because they got into Europa Cup. Europa League, I gotta say it right. They got into Europa League because of the FA Cup results actually only a couple of months ago, wasn't that long ago. And they weren't playing in the final, but because the team that we were following lost in the final, these guys made it through. It's complicated, but just believe us, this is the team we're following now as they play internationally. And they were playing a Dutch team, they were called, they still are called Vitesse, I believe. I don't know how to pronounce it, but they won 3-0 on their home turf. Now they play the second leg next weekend in Holland and or in the Netherlands. We'll see what happens then. They add up the scores, and then the winner goes on to the next round. And we'll be following it until next May. It just never ends.
That's when the actual cup takes place, if I'm correct. The
Europa League, yeah, it'll take place. I think it's in Switzerland this time
or
something.
Is it? Whereabouts?
I don't know exactly, but every year it's in a different European city.
We will update everybody out there listening with information about where exactly the Europa
League is. While Europa League is going on, the Champions League is also going on. The Champions League is teams that are even higher up than the Europa League champion.
Like, I was reading stuff about Arsenal and just...
Arsenal, they won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Which means they should have gotten into the Europa League. But since they won their league as well, they wound up going to the Champions League. And so they gave their place to the next team, which was Southampton, to go to Europa League instead.
That's how it works, everybody. Okay.
And also, just to make it even more complicated, some teams, when they lose a round in the Champions League, they drop down into the Europa League at a future date. So we might see, we will see that happen at some point. And then the winner of the Europa League gets an automatic place in the Champions League the year after. All right, that's everything I know about this. That's everything I care to share at the moment.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, so there's that. This whole Obama thing going on with the climate change, you've been hearing about this in the media.
We have.
I've been hearing more about the opposition to it than the actual plan itself. Just to basically sum this up, Barack Obama sought to clamp down yesterday on power plant emissions with a federal plan that, if successful, would attempt to slow global warming by dramatically shifting the way Americans get and use electricity. He described his unprecedented carbon dioxide limits as the biggest step ever taken by the U.S. on climate change. And that's something that even his opponents agree on. Yes, this is the biggest step ever taken by the U.S. on climate change. But then right away, we go into their point of view. They denounced the proposal as egregious federal overreach that would send power prices surging and vowed lawsuits and legislation to try to stop it. Okay, here's my thing. People are going to complain that this is somehow going to cost jobs and drive prices up and things like that. Climate change is real. It's happening. We're seeing the evidence of it everywhere. And I'm hearing increasing reports from people who really know what they're talking about that we're actually kind of too late, that things are going to be screwed up for the next few centuries because of our idiotic way of dealing with the situation or not dealing with the situation. So something like this comes along where someone takes definitive action. We're going to spend our time debating, oh my God, you're stepping on corporate rights. The state should do this instead of the federal government. People should be lining up supporting this kind of thing. And I'm not seeing that again for an Obama policy. This is something that needs to happen if we're going to even have a small chance of reversing the dangerous trends that we're facing right now. Now, okay, I expect the idiots on the right wing to try and block this as much as possible, to say this is going to hurt profits, that you don't have the right to tell us what to do, et cetera, et cetera. I expect that from them. What I don't expect are people who believe in this kind of thing, who believe in saving the earth, who believe in environmentalism, for you to keep quiet and say, oh, well, you know, Obama's a hypocrite because, well, he didn't do this in the past. His actions speak louder than his words. Well, you know what? These are the words that are speaking right now, okay? These words can turn into actions if people support them and say, yeah, this needs to happen. We're behind you. Screw these right-wing idiots that are going to try and make things even worse for future generations just based on their own short-term profits. Even if you wind up betraying us in the end and doing something ridiculously stupid and on the side of the energy companies and corporate America, right now what you're saying is pretty good, and we're going to stand behind you, and we're going to speak louder than those people that are opposing you. That is what I want to hear, and I'm not. I'm hearing the same sniping, the same ridiculousness of, well, it's not far enough, so I'm not going to support it. When you do that, the other side just gets their voice heard.
You get
nothing.
A little bit further in their direction, too, as far as being heard, and then the sentiment and the dialogue going that direction. And it's certainly critical to support and take, like, the ball, take it and run with it. This is something to build on. This is a platform that, you may disagree with parts of it, but it's okay to make it better, right? We can add to it. We can modify it. It's when these things are introduced and in their beginnings that we can affect them, the direction, and we should use these things. The Pope's talking about it too, right? I mean, a lot of leaders are talking about it at the same time, it seems. I think that plays into it. It may not have always been the best climate, no pun intended, to actually bring this up in various administrations, but from where I think Obama is right now in his administration and his presidency, now is a great time to tackle this. And I think people should stay on the bandwagon. I think people should support, the kinds of projects that they want to affect, because he's in a moment, I think, now where he's taking that stuff on and left and right. And if he can coordinate and work with people that are in action, I think he's there for you. And I think that's something we're going to miss out on, because I hate to say it, we're all going to be really distracted by election stuff this year.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true.
He's going to be doing a lot of cool stuff, I think, and towards the last 2 years of his presidency, and I think we're going to miss it because of the amount of attention that other blowhards and idiots get.
Yeah, but in this particular case, at least he's free to speak his mind.
Sure.
And say, this is what I want to do, and I'm just going to bypass all the usual nonsense that has slowed everything down for so long. Yeah, you can argue that, well, we should go through process and take forever to do this and give the Republicans every chance in the world to block this and put us back to where we were.
And just apologize constantly.
Or you can just take a chance and do it, you know, and say, enough already, enough dialogue. It's time for action. This is action. No matter what you think, this actually is getting something done. Now, under this plan, the U.S. must cut overall power plant emissions 32% by 2030, and that's compared to 2005 levels. The Obama administration said it would cost $8.4 billion annually by 2030, but argued that power bills would decrease because people would use less electricity and rely more heavily on low-cost sources like wind and solar. Of course, the energy industry has dismissed these estimates, and that's the last word in this in the paragraph there. They've dismissed it, therefore it's not true. Well, you know what? They would dismiss it because they'd be making less as a result of this kind of a plan, of this kind of thinking. To have people using wind energy and solar energy, that's the last thing they want. But in countries like Germany, where the majority of energy comes from renewable sources now, you're seeing exactly that. You're seeing all kinds of positivity. But it means nothing if a country like the United States does not join in as well, and countries like China have to as well. It's incredibly urgent and exactly what we need. So regardless of how you feel about drone strikes or surveillance or what has been said in the past or who has been appointed or who has been snubbed, this is something we need to back, period. Just these words. Is there something in here that you disagree with? And okay, what do you disagree with? I don't want to hear that, well, it should have been done earlier and therefore I disagree with it now, or other ridiculous things like that. This is a policy we need to get behind, and loudly, or you will see within a couple of weeks the Republicans will be controlling the dialogue and getting their way, and this in 5 years will not exist at all.
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, they all, what was it, California, they were doing some fundraising there for with the Coke Industries brothers to raise money and stuff, and I just, let's realize for a moment that those candidates are down there to try to get their support and get their dollars actually moving for them as a politician, and that's the same lobby, the same people that are going to go up against this kind of conversation, this kind of intelligent, scientific, humanist kind important discourse in favor of, right, the quote, or the private company's ability to dig out and sell resources that are pretty harmful. And anyway, let's keep that in mind as we watch some of the political antics and as climate change is discussed in light of that, and or on the side.
Now, one of the first things that we're going to be privy to is the debate coming up on Thursday. Republican candidates, of course, they'll just line up to attack this. Who's going to attack it more? Who loves Israel more? You know, all that usual garbage that they all have to try and transmit to all of us. But this is going to be interesting. I'm going to watch it on Thursday. It's going to be really a funny dialogue, I think, mostly because of the attendance of Trump.
And in a lot of ways,
I'm looking forward to that. But what I've learned from this, last week I was expressing my dismay that he was the front runner after all the ridiculous, horrible, crazy things he said. You know, and he has said some really terrible things. Basically, the guy is a bully. The guy is somebody who has so much entitlement, so much privilege, so much money, and such an inaccurate view of the actual way the world works. It's almost a parody. It's almost a parody. And then when I saw people actually supporting him, I realized that's what this has been. Since 1980, when the Republicans swept into power with Reagan, it basically has been the philosophy of, I want more for me. You know, this is, I'm right, you're wrong. It doesn't matter about other people's rights or anything like that. I want, you know, more food, more space in my vehicle
to more so of I can a share. Drive.
Yeah, just more. That's really what has been going on. Now, people used to think of this as unacceptable behavior, but then it sort of became funny, you know, it sort of became something that, oh yeah, look at that, you know, these people are just saying what we're all thinking. And then more and more people started saying it, and it became an actual legitimate political movement that, okay, yeah, you know what, America, right or wrong, we're number one, more for us, less for poor people, let's divide that up as much as possible, divide the gap, that is. Now, of course, they didn't say this out loud, but that's the general thinking behind it. They were able to put it into more palatable terms so that they could be a legitimate political party. But now you have somebody who doesn't care about that, who's just saying what everybody is still thinking, but is not filtering it at all, and is basically somebody that would have been laughed out of existence even 20 years ago, but now is accepted as, yeah, you know what, I believe in that. And just like the people of 1980 and beyond in the right wing, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to this, even though it's completely reprehensible and something that would not have existed in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now it just seems like it doesn't matter what you say. And that sort of, to me, defines what the Republican Party has been. I'm not saying this very well. I know. I'm still figuring it out. But they, in the past, were able to be more palatable to the mainstream, and now it's more of a fringe type of a thing. But you're seeing the same basic mentality. You know, it's just kind of raw now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's sort of a reemergence of that sentiment with different dressing. I think dressing it up, like what you said about whatever way you want to call that. I think dressing up, it's definitely a way to characterize
it. He's not dressing it up anymore.
Right.
It's just that's basically the raw feeling behind all the crap we've been dealing with for the last few decades. And now this is what's at the heart of it. And
there's no questioning of it.
No, people don't care anymore. It's like, yeah, you know what? This is all that this guy's saying what's on my mind more than the other people, not kowtowing to anybody whatsoever. Yeah, this is what I support. So
and not questioning what that actually would be like, what an administration, regardless of who it is,
but
what that would be like. If it is an entrepreneur, a businessman, are they going to privatize the bejesus out of our nation and our government? Are they going to make, I mean, what to what end would a Trump administration execute that office? And does anybody think, just in, for him in particular, the like irony of like him being a real estate person and wanting to be in the White House?
See, I don't think there's
acquiring any, property. It's not funny.
Any irony anymore, because all these fantasies that we've played out in our heads have become realities. You know, I remember back in the 70s, the prospect of Reagan being president was ridiculous. How can an actor be president? In fact, I've even been watching some old shows where people are joking about that. if you want a good actor, why don't you elect Reagan? And people laughed at that. And then all of a sudden he becomes president and the dialogue changes. Yeah. And now you do have an actor. Same thing with George W. Bush.
Oh, but
imagine George W. Bush becoming president. What kind of crazy reality would that be?
Well,
and it becomes reality and all of a sudden the dialogue changes. You know, the parallel I have is to reality television. What was the first reality TV show? MTV?
The Real World.
Yeah, Real World. And, okay, it was so bad that it was funny and people started watching it. And then more and more of it started becoming produced.
And then it became a genre.
And then it became the mainstream.
Ubiquitous because it's low cost, blah, right. blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I definitely hear you. Yeah. I would argue just... Even Obama, in office, changes, the dialogue changes, but in his case, I think it's been polarized a lot.
Yes. Well, but also, because his dialogue change has scared people because it's more grown up.
Yes.
And it also takes into account the rest of the world, which it's the last thing somebody who is self-centered and wants more for himself will want is to consider the rest of the world, to consider other people.
Right. I'm just saying that same change has taken it in a different direction, and that's why we're getting this backlash and sort of a return to what you've with the distinction of the 80s and how that's repeating in this in this case. It'll be interesting. We'll see this week.
I'm just hoping that he continues to lead. I really am, because it exposes this party as more of a fringe element that just was given too much legitimacy by the media over the years and taken seriously when it really shouldn't have been, because these are basically just a bunch of babies wanting their own way and not wanting to hear anybody else or debate or consider or anything. Just look at the first couple of years of Obama's office and how they tried to block everything. Maybe those days are behind us. But, you know, this environmental statement, this environmental plan of Obama's is a great test to see if that's actually the case.
Yeah, totally. I personally think a lot of those people should be run out of town for being obstinate and not working with other parties and politicians and so on and so forth. But anyway, we'll save that for a nice extended show. What else is going on?
Have an extended show someday? That'd be fun. Let's see. There's all kinds of examples of stupidity and, I can get into that if you want.
Well, it's not hard to. At all to talk about the stupid stuff going on.
I'm going through my notes.
Stupidity all around, but I know you have a very good selection of stuff that is probably really crazy. So give me the craziest thing you've got. Well, wild.
It's really hard to say what the craziest thing
is.
Okay,
fine.
This guy in Florida.
Okay.
There's a YouTube video of him standing in front of a Confederate flag and declaring his Florida gun range a Muslim-free zone. Now, in so doing, this guy, Andy Hallinan, said his decision was inspired by the Chattanooga shootings.
Oh.
And I guess the Confederate flag was inspired by the Charleston shootings. He joins another American gun range owner with a similar policy. "I will not arm and train those who wish to do harm to my fellow patriots," Hallinan says in the video explaining his new policy. He also says he will open his gun range, Florida Gun Supply, in Inverness, Florida, to the public at no cost and offer free concealed carry classes. "Get armed, get trained, and carry daily," he tells his intended audience, whom he repeatedly refers to as patriots. "We are in battle, patriots," Hallinan says, with enemies he defines as Islamic extremism and what he characterizes as out-of-control political correctness. "If we can't call evil evil," Hallinan says, "then we can't really defeat our enemies." Well, you know, this is the personification of evil, as far as I'm concerned. This kind of short-sightedness and simplicity and ignorance and danger. I mean, this guy is basically inspiring all kinds of people to do who knows what in the future. Well, hate crimes, massacres, just going to war in general against a nebulous enemy that is not really well-defined.
Yeah, and I think they would that not well defined enemy, I think, would take issue or would probably be the same way insofar as making rules about who can and cannot train at their facilities. It seems like we're just basically doing the same thing back to a perceived enemy, not really being grown up about it, not intelligent, not getting to the root of some of these issues,
and
the actual problem behind it, instead of just rah-rah tough guy stuff.
Again, this is somebody on what I consider to be the fringe, and I think we need to start describing it that way, rather than, and I'm trying not to do this, present this as, well, this is just another day in America. This is normal. It's not normal. This is sick behavior. This kind of thing should not happen, should not be allowed to happen, where you can basically just say, yeah, you know what? Muslims are excluded. They're the enemy. I'm going to teach you how to shoot Muslims, et cetera, et cetera, because that's basically what this guy is doing. We need to rein it in a bit and get some control of our senses and be a bit more rational. Here's something else concerning the Confederate flag. About 120 Confederate flag supporters rallied in North Carolina on Saturday, which is the latest challenge to the growing numbers of elected officials and public figures who want to consign the flag to history as they consider it a symbol of slavery and segregation. Yeah, right away, they consider it is a symbol of slavery and segregation. Absolutely. That's what it stood for. That's what the South stood for. It stood for other things, too, possibly. But those are two of the main ingredients there. So, you can say people are protesting against it, but it's not a question of, well, they have their views and then there are other views. There are facts. They don't get to change the facts. And that is certainly one of them. Anyway, cars, pickup trucks, even a sheriff's cruiser steamed through Stokes County carrying Confederate, Christian, and American flags in celebration of the Confederate Pride Rally and Ride. Attendees were showing support for their Southern roots. Rally organizer Cody Hall explained, not for the flags, appropriation as a symbol of hate. People want to burn the flag, vandalizing Confederate monuments, he said. We're here to stand up and say this is our heritage. You have a right to hate it, but we have a right to respect it and love it. I don't think anyone's saying they don't have that right. They just don't have the right to fly it in front of government buildings and glorify it to the masses and get people to follow it like it's legitimate.
Basically, they don't get to normalize that attitude, right? What you want to do privately, that's fine, but you cannot institutionalize a sentiment through government buildings and institutions and so on.
And there's a similar rally took place in Georgia at a place called Stone Mountain Park. A giant mountain carving commemorates Confederate leaders. Hundreds of attendees showed up there. But you know what? You should look this up. There was a picture that's being distributed of something that happened at that particular rally at Stone Mountain Park, where a lot of these people came armed, for one thing, because they wanted to show off that, hey, I've got the right to carry guns everywhere. And, of course, what happens when people do that? They get into fights with their guns. And that's exactly what happened at Stone Mountain. And there's a picture of a guy literally reaching for his gun in his pocket or holster or whatever. And I'm not sure who he is going to be aiming it at, because there are two people directly in front of him. One, this guy with a beard, and the other is a cop. Now, what do you think, Kyle? What do you think would happen if, say, that took place, in Cleveland, Baltimore, Los Angeles, New York, Seattle, anywhere, and the person reaching for the gun happened to be African American?
Yeah, but do they have open carry laws in those cities?
Even if they did, you reach for your gun directly in front of a cop. What's that cop going to do? He's going to gun you down without a second thought and get away with it too.
Yeah, because there's a distinction between concealed weapons and open carry.
Well, this was pretty open because you could see it.
Yeah, that's right? Open carry. So if he's just standing around in a state that has open carry laws and he's, just has his hand on his...
He's reaching for his gun, like Jesse James style.
Well, reaching for it to pull it on someone, or just kind of resting it on his belt?
You're not reaching to fondle it, although they probably are. No, he looked like he was about to draw and shoot somebody.
Like
I'm not sure who he was about to shoot.
Across the front of his torso, or was his right hand on his right hip with the gun right beside?
Is this a trial? Look, the point is, he's reaching for his gun right in front of a cop. And this cop, what this cop is doing, he's basically telling the guy, and you can see in his expressions, calm down, back down. He's actually doing the right thing. He's doing what every cop should do. So I don't want to, a lot of people are saying, And there's a phrase that's going around on the internet, and it's a very apt phrase called "watch whiteness work." All right, and what that means is there's a double standard in this country, as you well know, that if you're white and something happens, like let's say you're caught with some pot and you're white, you're not going to go to jail. If you're black, you will go to jail. That's whiteness working. It's privilege. We can go on about this for hours and hours. There are so many examples of it. But here is what could be another very good example of this, where if the people involved were black, the outcome would be completely different. Of course, it could also be that this cop just happens to be a really good cop that can deal with these situations and would, in fact, do the same thing if the people were black. There's no way to know that. But in this particular case, it sure seems like the former.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. I've heard about that whiteness thing. I'll have to try it sometime. But,
Scan that phrase. Watch whiteness work on the net. You'll see so many examples of it. It's really enlightening.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. No, I hear you on that. I'm just saying there is a distinction. I mean, I would go so far in agreeing that if that person was doing the same thing, now I don't know the exact situation, but I was arguing that maybe the picture, if it is just a still photo of a scene of action, you don't know that it could have appeared a lot more aggressive than it actually was. That's my opinion as a photographer and a journalist.
Could have been reenacting a scene from the Civil War. True.
Right. But I would go so far as to say that a black person doing the same thing in a state, if they had a concealed weapons permit and maybe even an open carry permit and they had their hand on their weapon and it was a white police officer, I would agree that the de-escalation methods, if used at all, I think would be entirely different and distinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is something that a lot of people who are not African-American or a minority of any sort, that includes Native Americans and Hispanic people, we don't get it many times. We don't understand what the big deal is because we never have to face it ourselves.
We can sympathize, but I don't think we can empathize.
Yes, yes.
Because we don't know what it's like.
The most recent case in Cincinnati of a university cop going off campus and basically executing a guy because he didn't like the way he was... he wasn't actually even reaching for anything. He was pulled over. He was looking for his license. A bottle that was supposedly of gin turned out to be perfume. And basically what the cop did was he claimed that he was about to be run down. The video shows completely different. And he shot the guy at close range in the head. And, to the credit of Cincinnati, he was immediately arrested and charged with murder. Uh-huh. But this kind of thing, the fact that two of his fellow officers backed up his story when obviously that's not what happened, and they have not been charged at all with any kind of a crime, that is troubling. That shows you the environment. And that shows you also that if there wasn't video, what would he be saying? What would the outcome be in that particular case? It's happened so many times. Look how many times it's happened with video. And imagine how many times it's happened without video. So there's that. What else do we have? This is kind of funny. A tourist from Texas was arrested over the weekend on charges. She was packing two loaded handguns at the September 11th memorial in New York City. This happens more often than you might think. According to a criminal complaint, Elizabeth Enderley was visiting the site Saturday when she informed a police officer she had the weapons in her backpack. She was charged with criminal possession of a weapon before being released Sunday. Now, she mistakenly believed the permit that she had to carry weapons in her home state of Texas covered her visit to New York, and but it didn't.
It does not.
Listen to what a friend of hers said about their culture, and this ought to outline the difference between the culture in New York and the culture in Texas. Our husbands don't give us a hug and kiss; they pat us down to make sure we're armed. We're not allowed to go out without them. That is how they deal with guns. And you know what? If you want to live in Texas and that's what the majority of people there want to do, fine. But that's not how it works here. And don't try and force it on us, because there's a lot of people saying her permit should apply here. She should be allowed to do that in any state, just like gay marriage. They're throwing the gay marriage back at us, too. So, if all states have to recognize one state's union between two people, then all states should recognize whatever crazy laws we have involving who can carry what where. It's insane. It's insane. And we have to make sure that dialogue does not go back into that disturbing area.
Indeed.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I was doing radio stuff. I'm totally listening.
Sometimes it seems like these long pauses after I say something that I'm just sort of, you know, letting out a lot of air here, and no one's actually paying any attention. But that's fine. I'm used to it. It's the way I live.
I'm sorry. It's okay. It's just when we bring up guns, I don't know. It just, I feel like I'm on the playground and I'm with the kids that are playing this stupid game of like cops and robbers and stuff, and they're like making all the gun sounds with their mouths, and I'm just like, this is stupid. Why are we even playing this? I feel like it's a grown-up version of that.
Well, that's the game that everybody will be playing if we don't keep our wits about us and say, this doesn't make any sense. This is stupid. This is harmful. This, you know, it's taking us down a very bad road, and it's been proven over and over again how bad it is.
You know what I'm saying? Don't you have the image of like little kids playing a game and like little kids marching around and like giving orders to their lieutenants? And I don't take the authority, the perceived authority. Because
that's what a lot of people like. They like to be able to have that authority. They like to be able to play these games. And I have a lot more respect for people that are into guns that say, I like it because it's cool, rather than the ridiculous argument of how they're going to take down a corrupt government and protect themselves against an army of people that invade their homes. And ridiculous scenarios like that play out very, very rarely, if at all. If you think something is cool, it's a neat instrument to have and something that you want to get good at, I respect that. I don't agree with where you do it. I think it should be more controlled as far as when you have access to live rounds of ammunition, things like that. But that's, you know, that's stuff that can be worked out down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. It's something we need to evolve with to actually get that far down the road. But when we're stuck in these situations of flaring tempers and people pulling in other human rights. I mean, you might as well pull in broadband and, you know, internet and information is a human right. And, you know, compare that to gay marriage. I don't know. Bring in some of the other really big crucial things like transportation and so on.
The thing is, things change, right? Things change over the years, over the centuries. We have to change with them. We don't live in the same country we lived in the 1700s. So if we're pointing back solely to what somebody said back then as the reason why we have to continue doing things that way, I don't think that's a valid argument. Just like, you know, people in the 1700s had no conception of broadband or gay marriage, probably, and things have changed. Right. Our society is very different.
Exactly.
If we're going to actually move forward, we need to change with it. Yeah, always keeping in mind how changing can work against us. But I simply don't think that the emotions of when this country first got started will carry us into the next century, because the rules are completely different. The scenarios are completely different.
Yeah, I don't, those adults running around like kids on the playground playing cops and robbers, making silly sounds with their guns, although, you know, just basically all about that and that right, I think they dilute the discourse around actually building a country and a society that we want to live in with the kinds of resources that we would like, and the kind of mutual respect and equality as well, and safety, but relative safety. I mean, because of your perceived safety with you having a weapon, like, that does not instill the kind of safety I would want walking around you.
Yes, exactly. You might feel safe.
Yeah.
But the people around you probably feel scared to death. And they won't say it because who knows what that might trigger in you.
Yeah. I mean, what if I walked around with NATO on my back and I just basically felt safe because NATO followed me everywhere and kicked first and asked questions later, and NATO had my back wherever I go? I mean, what does that make me? I mean, that's
Poland?
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting. You've opened up a door.
It's this might makes right. What is it? Might.
It's that same basic attitude that I was describing earlier. Yeah, might makes right. My way or the highway. More for me, you know, less for minorities. Let's expand the gap between haves and have-nots. It's that kind of fringe mentality that really needs to be defined as such, and the rest of us need to move on already and get things done.
Right.
Actually join the civilized world. Get healthcare, get high-speed rail, get good infrastructure, stop invading other countries and killing people everywhere, deal with racial inequality and economic inequality and
anyway,
things like that.
Exactly. That's why my face glazes a bit when we get into this issue, because, you know,
it's a symptom, though.
It feels like I have to go back to the playground and explain it again to people. And again, you know, if I was a bully running around and I wasn't doing anything with NATO that, you know, having my back, that was productive, I think people would say, hey, you know, you're useless. You just run around banging your weapons and making silly sounds. You're not evolving our community. You're not doing anything for the society.
The gun people are going to love the image of NATO on their back.
And we don't feel any safer. You're just making silly noises with your mouth. And it's not relative safety for the preponderance of people that have to live in the society. If everyone's armed and it is unsafe because we're idiots, I don't think it's done much for safety. So anyway, that's what
but you know, it's just a kid's game, running around playground making sounds and playing with guns. Unless you're a black kid in Cleveland, then you get executed. Watch whiteness work.
Hashtag watch whiteness work.
All right, I guess we're out of time. I wanted to read letters, wanted to take phone calls, but
I was ready to go with all that stuff. Should I play the ID anyway, just since I'm queued up?
Nah, you don't need to. But you have vinyl going.
Yeah,
you have vinyl.
Can you tell me just really quickly, before we go,
there's one song on that whole album that's not clean.
Is that song
and
clean?
And that's not the one, so you're fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
We didn't have an outro because we have no power, so we have to rely on vinyl, going back old school.
We are going back old school, and I queued it up because I used to be a DJ. I am a DJ.
You always will be a DJ.
Waving your
I'm waving my
me?
Hand because I want to give out the email address. Do you want to hear from my listeners or not?
Yes, please.
You know what? You give out the email address just
OTW at 2600.com. That's OTW at 2600.com.
I'm waving my arms around.
Okay, I'm being the DJ right now. what I was saying, I'm a DJ. I queued it up with just my ear and the vinyl.
You know what else you're being?
What am I being?
I can't say that on the radio, but we'll be back next week.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. right here on WUSB. Stony Brook. Tonight we're going to celebrate a little bit of the birthdays of Henry Clooney of Stiff Little Fingers, one of my favorites. He's been on the show a few times. And also of the great Louis Armstrong. Plus we're going to talk to Russ Green about what's coming up in the poetry world. That's right. You got it. Listen up.
Violence breed, we're all in a one and one in all. So throw away the guns and the war.